We're starting a show now called The Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries, and creatives, and stories, music, and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change, and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests, or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com. We start tonight's show with a story by the extraordinary Mike Bone called Ted Turner's T-Shirt. Then we hear a tune by Brianna Kinn, Water Me Down, just released. She can be reached at briannakinn.com. Then I interview Francis Chan, and we wrap up the show with some new releases by Real Situation. Stay tuned!
A t-shirt from the 1970s Second Atlanta Pop Festival. It was a white t-shirt with the Pop Festival poster artwork on it. I worked at the festival, so I got one as payment for my services, along with some cash and tickets to the show. I didn't wear it a lot. It wasn't really a great shirt. I think it would be valuable today. I think the first rock band t-shirt I got was for the Grateful Dead. The art work was a skull with a lightning bolt through it. I wasn't really into the Dead's music, but the t-shirt was cool. It was given to me by the Dead's record company rep, Danny Davenport, I think. Two of my favorite t-shirts were both from Capricorn Records. The Captain Beyond t-shirt. It was light blue ink printed on a darker blue Indian t-shirt. There was no ribbing around the neck. It was very lightweight, great in the South in the summer, but not too sturdy. 10 or 15 washings and it was done. The other favorite was the green Allman Brothers t-shirt with the yellow mushroom on the front. This t-shirt came in two colors, green, my favorite color, and orange. Dick Woolley, the Capricorn head of promotion at the time, gave me the green one. I wore the green Allman Brothers t-shirt until it developed holes in the armpits. The first four-color t-shirt I saw was for the movie soundtrack for American Graffiti. It featured a rather buxom waitress on roller skates with a Mel's Diner cap printed on a yellow background. The four-color was a game-changer. Now every t-shirt had to be four-color. In my early days in the music business, there was not a lot of band t-shirts, but once they caught on, they exploded. T-shirts were everywhere. It became big business, big enough that Phil Walden and Ira Sokoloff started the Great Southern Merchandising Company in Macon, Georgia. Goodness only knows how many t-shirts Great Southern sold. At one point, in addition to the Allman Brothers, they had the merchandising rights to Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, ZZ Top, and a lot of others. Ed Shockey, the famous DJ in Philadelphia, was famous for his t-shirt collection. When you gave Ed a t-shirt, he was always asked for an additional one, which he would seal in a plastic bag with a mothball. When Ed changed Cosmic Addresses in 2004, his t-shirt collection was the envy of rock and roll. Ed, or rather his estate, had all of them, never worn, in a plastic bag. Brilliant. Many years ago, when I actually had money to invest, I bought some shares of AOL at the suggestion of my friend Eddie. Eddie is a savvy investor. I bought AOL at about $16 a share, and it was like a rocket ship going all the way up to about $125 a share. Eddie may have been a savvy investor, but he was not a great communicator when it came time to sell the AOL stock. Eddie sold I didn't. In 1996, Ted Turner, my fellow Georgian, merged his Turner Broadcasting System with Time Warner. Ted got billions in Time Warner stock. Ted was Time Warner's largest stockholder. That's with a B, billions. AOL merged with Time Warner and became AOL Time Warner in 2000. Ted Turner called the merger with AOL, quote, better than sex. Like so many unions, the marriage made in heaven proved to be hell. When the internet bubble burst, the AOL Time Warner stock dropped like a rock. What did Eddie care? He had sold his stock at the market high. Like a fool, I held onto my AOL Time Warner stock, and I rode that dog all the way down from $125 a share to $16 a share, right back where I started from. Ouch. Publicly traded companies like AOL Time Warner have an annual general stockholders meeting. In the case of AOL Time Warner, the meeting was moved between New York and Los Angeles. I attended the 2002 AOL Time Warner stockholder meeting in Los Angeles on the Warner Brothers movie lot in their large screening room. The room seated about 1,500 people. During the 2002 meeting, the CEO, Dick Parsons, told everyone that all was well. There was a slight glitch in the internet world, but the core Time Warner businesses were all doing great. The stockholders in the audience were given the opportunity to question Mr. Parsons and the rest of the board of directors on the stage about anything they wanted to ask. A lot of environmental activists had, with one share of stock, questioned them about their business practices regarding the environment. Some asked about the stock price, which was beginning to decline. Everyone was polite. They got a benign answer from the stage. The company posted a $100 billion loss that year. At the end of the meeting, all the stockholders that had taken the time to attend were treated to coffee and pastries and given some AOL Time Warner swag. I remember there was a Friends DVD with three episodes, a Madonna EP with three versions of her latest hit, and a gray AOL Time Warner t-shirt. I passed on the Friends DVD and the Madonna EP, but I took an extra large gray AOL Time Warner t-shirt. It was nice. 100% cotton. It was a Gildan shirt. The copy on the front gave the date and place of the AOL Time Warner annual stockholders meeting in big letters. There were logos of the companies under the type at the top. I'd worked at Elektra Records and with Warner Brothers Records and with WEA Distribution, so I thought the shirt was kind of cool. I used to wear the shirt a lot, enough that my wife, Lori, would comment, "Are you going to wear that piece of garbage again?" My stock answer was that I had lost so much money by this time on the AOL Time Warner stock that the t-shirt was the most expensive item in my wardrobe. The next stockholders meeting was in New York in 2002. I did not attend. For the annual Time Warner General Stockholders meeting was back in Los Angeles. By this time, the company had dropped AOL off their name. The stock was trading at $16 a share. All of the stockholders were pissed off. They had seen their investment soar and then crash. The people on stage, Dick Parsons particularly, were to blame. The Time Warner CFO at the time was Wayne Pace, a graduate of the University of Georgia, my alma mater. He was also in the hot seat. Ted Turner, also from the great state of Georgia, was seated on the stage as well. So we come to the time in the stockholders meeting to question the board of directors. You can imagine there were a lot of pissed off people in the audience. People were mad. Lots of cussing and threats of lawsuits, etc. Several people had to have the microphone taken from them by security staff. It was a tough room. The environmentalists didn't stand a chance at this year. I got up and stood in line to wait my turn to speak. When I finally got the microphone, I gave a shout out to Wayne Pace, Go Dogs, and to Ted Turner, quote, one of my favorite fellow Georgians, end quote. The mood in the room lightened somewhat. I then proceeded to point out to the board members on stage that I was wearing the t-shirt from the 2002 annual stockholders meeting. I told everyone about my wife's objection to the shirt and told them my normal reply was that the 2002 annual AOL Time Warner General Stockholders Meeting t-shirt was the most expensive article of clothing in my wardrobe. This elicited a round of polite laughter from everyone in the room, except for Dick Parsons. Even Wayne Pace, the Time Warner CFO, laughed. I went on to explain that given the number of shares of stock I own and the price history of the stock over the last 2 years, I could calculate the exact cost of my t-shirt. I then asked them the following question, quote, "What I want to know is how much did Ted Turner's t-shirt cost him," end quote. The room erupted in laughter, with Ted Turner laughing so hard he almost fell out of his chair. I've always had a lot of respect for Ted for his response, quote, "more than yours," end quote. Ted Turner lost $7 billion in stock value in the previous 2 years.
Hello, this is Brianna Kinn. I hope you enjoy my new single, Water Me Down. This song is very raw for me, very real, very exposed. It was sort of like a battling of the demons kind of moment when I wrote it. So I hope you find something meaningful in it for you and hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
As I'm strumming alone on my own, staring in the mirror, looks back at me in shadows from all the secrets I keep tucked away. So maybe for now I'll breathe in the silence out loud and feel my fingers on this empty wood. Oh, waiting for the storm to pass, I will sit quietly, ears open enough. I am carrying my demons close to me, tucked in my back pocket for only me to see.
I too have
Can I forgive me? 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 Can
I? This is Mystic Pete. I have Francis Chan in studio today. It's May 11th, 2021. Hi, Francis.
Hi, Mystic Pete. How are you doing today?
I'm so glad you could come. You are at thequantumcoach.info. That's your website. Why don't you tell us about what you do?
Thank you so much, Mystic Pete. I'm so happy to be here to share about my love of quantum healing. I'm a quantum healer, a life coach, and I also do pranic healing. I love helping people transform their lives. I've helped a lot of people overcome traumatic events in their childhood and their adulthood, and really just gain a lot of confidence in their life again. And I love to help them succeed. So thank you so much for having me today, and I'm happy to share my gifts with everyone.
So you're a healer and a spiritual guide and teacher, and I felt you are one of these people who are emerging with new information, some exciting material, and not what my listeners know I object to, is people playing guru or people involved in cults, but sincere, honest, able teachers who have something to offer. They're not trying to build it up into something mysterious or this super phony branding. They're just teachers and have something to offer us. Like, there are violin teachers, there are science teachers, and we're all in process and we're learning, and in 10 or 15 years you'll know more, but you offer the skills you've gained now, and I have mentioned to you that you just seem like an old soul. So tell me a little bit more about the specifics of what you do. Quantum healing.
Quantum healing is a holistic alternative modality. We use the understanding of the quantum universe, that everything is energy. The experiences that we are experiencing right now, that you and I are experiencing, are manifestations of the energy signature that our soul is communicating out in the universe. And so we go through life and through lifetime learning certain lessons that can help us gain certain characteristics and learn certain lessons. I help people overcome certain events in their life. I've experienced a lot of people having issues with their family relationships, their romantic relationships, and we're all human and we all go through certain difficulties. Quantum healing really helps them gain a universal understanding of how some of these past events can really help them, and they are able to create new timelines in the quantum field for themselves.
So I'm hearing this coming together of certain scientific theories, quantum theory, and the transmigration of the soul. In other words, let me say what I think you're saying and then you can clarify. So our soul has lifetimes and we learn things throughout these reincarnations, but it happens through integration with material reality, and there's a physics to it. And you're trying to connect those dots between the super spiritual, mystical, hard to identify thing called the soul and actual physical reality, where there's molecules, atoms, subatomic particles. Like, these aren't two separate things. Somehow this is all one continuum. This is a very exciting idea, actually. I want you to answer, but I think physics is coming up against this very strange universe where there are things happening in quantum reality that make no sense at all, that really make no sense at all. And I think some of us mystics are in the back of the room waving our hand going, I know, because all that stuff makes total sense to us. But I don't think physics is quite at the place where they can go, oh, there's like a spiritual dimension to this, because they can't measure spiritual dimension. It's not measurable currently, but you're on the forefront of bridging this through more energetic work. Am I at all?
Absolutely.
And I got it. Okay, good.
Yes, and I understand that the science and the spiritual actually work together quite a lot. It's in scientific studies in quantum physics and quantum mechanics, they do have laws and scientific studies that have been able to measure that two particles can actually influence each other even from far away through quantum entanglement. Also, there are lately, in the last 10 years, a lot more technologies to measure the aura. The aura is the energetic field. Even in the times to come, you're going to see even more great experiments being able to tie together the science and the spirituality.
And of course, this other famous thing going on, Schrodinger, etc. You don't know where a quantum particle actually is until it is observed. And one way to say this, until consciousness is applied to it, it's really not in any place. In fact, I've heard physicists describe it as, it's not that it just may be here or there. It's actually no place at all until it's observed. So consciousness affects reality, something like that. And we may be at the point of a very crude interpretation of this, but we're trying to make sense of it. In 15 or 50 years, we may be able to describe it better and the language may be better so we can really define it more.
I also feel that's where we're going towards in our understanding as well.
You're like the Eskimo have 50 words for snow. I hope I'm not saying something stupid. But that kind of idea that people who are involved in a certain reality have a lot of ways to describe it. And I think mystical and spiritual reality has very poor language right now. We don't have much ways of talking about it because it's all new. There's just kind of like religion and then silly gurus, but there's not real scholarship. So our language abilities to be able to describe this realm is very limited.
I think that the mainstream public is not very aware that metaphysicians for many generations actually have passed on the knowledge of science and spirituality together. Also, even you can even take a college class right now in metaphysics. So there is a lot of scientific language that is coming forth to explain these phenomena of how time is an illusion and that one can heal events in their life that is occurring that we observe in the present, but also being able to heal from past lives or even other events that happened with relatives that even can affect somebody right now. The language does exist, but it's not common knowledge unless you are a person studying it. And
fair enough.
Over the last 10 years, I actually have studied with different spiritual teachers who passed down their knowledge of clairvoyance and energy and the energetic field. The things that I know are from some of those teachers, and even some of them took physics and have a very good understanding of the quantum world through the scientific lens as well. So there definitely is a marriage of the two.
Well, and we were talking earlier about I have this practice called my immortality practice. Mm-hmm. And I'm very clear that from a very visceral experiential point of view that time is flexible. I think most people experience time as this train that's just going in one direction. But to me, I can push and pull on it. And I've been told I look much younger than my 61 years.
People
tell me I don't look a day over 60 and 364/365. It's a joke. No, but I think we can actually physically start getting younger through these spiritual forces, and I'm trying to prove it. But you're also pointing out that there's also a resonance between people living together. There's lives before this one, perhaps, that has important connections to what's happening now. You may have problems or challenges. You just don't understand. Like why, God? Why is this happening to me, God? But if you could see the arc of your soul, you were a torture prison guard in your last life. Maybe that's why things are so hard for you, because it's coming around. So don't be a torture prison guard again.
Yes, and I think this is a good segue to a conversation that Mystic Pete and I had earlier. I've been very fortunate that since I was a young child, I actually naturally remembered some of my past lives. So I'm speaking from a memory of remembering events in my life that happened before this one. I came into this life knowing that I had been an adult before, that I have lived in other civilizations, and that knowledge has helped me in my current life to be able to understand and piece together certain experiences that I've had.
So you were a kid and you're remembering this stuff, and I'm sure the adults are going, yeah, Francis, you watch too many TV shows, but these were real memories to you. Anything you want to talk about?
Yes, certainly. I was raised in Massachusetts, and there's a huge Irish population there. So in this incarnation, I'm Asian American. I'm born in the U.S. I remember one of the first incarnations that I remember is being Irish. I remember going into a convention center and seeing all the different jewelry with Celtic knots. I looked at a man who was Irish, and I looked at him. I looked at him with a feeling of recognition and love that I am your blood.
Wow.
Yes. And he looked back at me, not recognizing me.
Right. He didn't know what
he just saw a person that looked Asian. And I looked at him with intent that this is my heritage. This is my memories. And it was so strong that it just left an impression on me. And I just realized, wow, I'm really not in that other life. That's one of the first memories that I had that left an impact on me.
It's just so many implications to what you're saying about politics and sociology and racism and identity. I mean, it has a lot of implications if we were different nationalities and races and genders before the one we currently are. And perhaps that knowledge is in us, which is then a doorway to compassion for people who are not ourselves.
This is something that Mystic Pete and I also talked about before, is that we, from my understanding and my own experiences, I identify as a spiritual person who has been on Earth many times. I believe race is one of the superficial identities that we carry throughout life. I certainly remember I'm female in this life, but I remember also my male lifetimes pretty strongly. And on many occasions, I remember my male lifetimes, and it's just that we reincarnate many times to learn many lessons, and we do have opportunities between incarnations to decide which race we might be born into. I absolutely agree with you that compassion is the glue and the love that holds everything together, and that between lifetimes, we have many superficial, external appearances, but when it comes down to it, we're all just souls on the same planet together.
Beautifully put. Wow, what a teaching for humanity. And also all the suspicion and hatred towards gays and homosexuality and that whole like religious anti-sexuality and just viciousness. It just gives a whole nother context. Like, yeah, if you were the other gender in your past life, what are we doing with so much, you know, like binary identity here?
I agree. And to me, as somebody who does remember past lifetimes as male and female and being in different orientations and relationships, I can see through the prejudice that people have towards each other and the type of control and manipulation, particularly of patriarchal cultures that try to control women. I believe women have come a long way, and the forgiveness really towards any gender works both ways, certainly. I see the current racial and gender sexuality climate as a call to come within, connect with the one and only creator that creates and connects us all. When I'm speaking to the creator, I'm not speaking to a religious creator by any type of religion. I mean that we're all children of the universe, and we have this great opportunity to look past the external and really come into ourselves and connect through our heart. I know that is a very idealistic type of idea, but I, as a soul, have come to this planet to really embody that message and share that message of oneness with everyone. The oneness is something that the spiritual community, the yoga community, the namaste, that we are all one and we all acknowledge the light within each other, the true meaning of that is love and unity and looking past these external differences.
I mean, what you're saying on one level is just so obvious. Like, yeah, of course, what has taken us so long? But on another level, it's just like radical. It's just challenging every norm that's holding up civilization right now. It's clearly where we need to land, and soon, before the entire world is consumed by all this hatred and suspicion of each other. On the one hand, it's close and so obvious, and the other, it's like a long way away.
Yeah, and I'm just a soul that came with the mission to inspire people in their heart to connect with the goodness and really be able to see beyond the superficiality, the ego's attachment to division, to seeing things in black and white when things are not black and white. And prejudice, hatred, that's all, in my opinion, a rejection of the creator, the identification with the I versus the we, versus the collective consciousness that surrounds us, that knows no gender or sexuality, that no one is right or wrong on the basis of their surface characteristics.
Well, let's talk a little now about the actual work you're doing. Maybe you can give some examples of the people you're working with. And like, let's make this concrete and how all your awareness applies to really helping people in a very material way.
Great. Wonderful. Well, I'd love to share with you about quantum healing and some of the coaching that I do with people. Now, I do quantum healing sessions and coaching because I feel that they combine in a very whole sense a person's spiritual knowledge through the quantum healing, through connecting with a consciousness that is higher than their I, they're higher than their ego, and then also transforming them with the help of loving support in their emotions and helping them with some of this, their cycles in their life. For example, a man came to me and he had been having a lot of difficulties in his relationship with his parents growing up. Unfortunately, his father was very abusive. He wanted to find some peace. We did quantum healing sessions together. We also did some life coaching around relationships and relating to family. And what was really amazing during that quantum healing session is he was able to connect to the spirit level of his mom and dad. He experienced a lot of forgiveness, a lot of peace. He's in his mid-40s, but he had been carrying for about 20 years a lot of grief around his father, who he had seen his father abuse his mom. This was very beautiful, and I could feel that the three of them have a very strong soul level connection, soul family connection, which means that they have incarnated through lifetimes together to support each other in learning certain lessons. So that was a very beautiful session. He left feeling really great, and he was able to transform and forgive his parents. Imagine going through life and holding grief towards your family for 20 or 30 years. And now this story is not really an exception because we're human beings. We have feelings, we have emotions. To be able to let go of past hurt and be able to move forward is huge. And that's why I really love what I'm doing, because there's opportunities to grow.
I'm speaking with Frances Chan. You can find her at thequantumcoach.info. That's the website, thequantumcoach.info. And what do these sessions actually look like? Is it mostly talking, or is there healing touch? What do you do?
We first get to talk about your healing intention for the session. What are your goals for yourself? Where do you see yourself in the future? After having a short discussion on that, we do an energetic shift into a beautiful meditation where we connect with quantum consciousness. And then I help lead and channel through the session of healing. Then we do a beautiful ending together. I just really love being able to be in that space because I'm able to channel a lot of love, and my clients are able to receive a lot of the gifts that the universe has for them. So thank you.
Frances Chan, thequantumcoach.info. Tell me about the quantum healing modalities?
I do several quantum healing modalities that I'm happy to share with you. And I do quantum rebirthing, which is a really exciting opportunity for a person to revisit the consciousness that they had as a child inside of their mother's womb. They can actually be able to access that energy and come into life in the present with more confidence and more understanding of their life. I have met people who wish they had more confidence and they feel like they wanted to understand their purpose. The quantum rebirthing session allows a person to travel back in the time into the womb space of their mother or the original point of creation to access the energy transference from the DNA, any unresolved soul imprints, epigenetic formation from within the mother's emotional states, and come out rebirthed as a new self. Particularly for women, I'm able to help them rebirth themselves into new archetypes, such as the queen archetype, the goddess archetype, throne money consciousness, the sovereign self, and empress energy, which you can imagine is super empowering in this day and age where women are able to reclaim more sovereignty and more independence in their life.
Wow. I remember in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of talk and practices about rebirthing and dealing with birth trauma and pre-birth experiences. And I think to a lot of people, this might just sound like science fiction. But I will say that in my own meditations, I once remembered being in the womb, and I'm sure you have a lot of stories about this, but what I remembered was there wasn't that much of an experience of being in this closed environment. What it was perceiving my mom's emotions. So I was like living through what she was feeling as a fetus. Am I making sense? And what she was feeling was absolutely lonely and abandoned. How could this man be so unfeeling and difficult? So she was having like a lot of trouble with the pregnancy, and whether he was behaving like that or that was just her own experience of the situation. Well, I have my opinions, but I would say there was some kind of imprint of her emotions onto me, because that's all I was really feeling was what my mom was feeling and the environment she was in. So is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Absolutely. Okay. And I'm just blown away that you have that memory. And it's so vivid to you as you're explaining that this is exactly, if including yourself, wanted to do a quantum rebirthing, you can access those emotions that you felt during that point in time within your mother and reprogram to the feeling of wholeness, belonging, security. Oftentimes with clients who survived very traumatic births, or they had their mother didn't want to have them, or maybe they felt that their father didn't want them to be born, they can go through a quantum rebirthing and really reclaim their energy in their life, which is so beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, appreciate that. Yeah. Well, why don't you talk a little about how do you lead somebody into that? I mean, I know how I found that, but it seems such an arcane or extraordinary experience to have. How do you bring people there?
Yes. So again, this is a quantum healing modality and time is an illusion. So we're able to access the consciousness of you, if you're going through the rebirthing within your mother through a quantum healing process. We go into a meditative state and we're able to access the consciousness. And then we bring in the creator's consciousness. The creator is always around us at all times. Again, this is the non-denominational creator. It's not related to any religion. It's one that loves and sees all. And through connecting with the fullness and the love of the creator, able to transform the consciousness state before rebirthing. So there's definitely a process during the session, but everyone has been able to feel whole and complete and loved by the end. And that is really the gift of being able to go through this experience with someone.
I like what you're saying is like it's goal oriented. It's not merely about remembering something or hashing through old pain. It's to resolve self. And on the other side of it, you feel better. One other memory I had pre-birth or birth was that my dad wanted a girl. So I have a brother, and he wanted a girl. And when I realized that as an adult, a lot of things made sense, like about the way he was treating me. And I asked him, like, did you want to? He had no memory of it. So the person your parents were when you were born years ago, they may not remember any of it. You know, they'll even apologize to you. They didn't mean to hurt you in any way, but they're almost different people. It's only still alive in you, but that's where it has to be solved, huh?
Absolutely. And this goes to show the energy transference in that you are able to pick up, even within the womb space, that you had an impression that your father wanted you to, or was hoping for, a female. It's just amazing, the consciousness. Like, there's no separation in terms of feeling and receiving that energy, that you know that. That's really just proof of energy and being able to understand it, even within your own body. Growing up, I mean, that can have an effect on someone, certainly. Does that have an effect on you now, to this day, at all?
Me now? Yeah. Like, the stuff I become aware of, I'm pretty good at resolving. But I think a lot of my spiritual journey has been to find the things I'm not aware of. Like, when they're in the dark, when they're numb, when they're outside of my range, they're just kind of in the closet. They're kind of haunting. You may have some imbalance or discomfort, but you don't quite know what it is or where it's emanating from. But I'm pretty good, once I locate it, having ways to resolve it. I'm good at that. It's just finding it in the first place. And it sounds like a lot of your work is helping people see these things. And then the healing and resolution, well, you help with that too, but maybe that also comes naturally once we're aware.
Yes, yes. And that's what I really love about the healing work, is we can find a timeline in a person's life where maybe there was a traumatic event. I refer to quantum rebirthing, where we're accessing the baby within inside the womb. But even after birth, there can be traumatic and difficult events in childhood. Those could even include certain abusive situations, rape, abuse. Like I had mentioned, I've worked a lot with clients that have needed to go back to that time frame when that happened. And through the quantum healing, we're able to access the consciousness of healing and really work together on restoring a sense of wholeness that they greatly need and deserve. This discussion can really heal a lot of events in people's lives.
Actually, in my healing work, I've done a lot of past life work, and I'm really good at opening that doorway for other people. And that's just a common thing that happens in sessions. Now, listeners may go, oh yeah, that's just a kind of bunch of phony baloney new age stuff. But that's fine. And if you've never experienced that, I totally understand and respect the skepticism about it. But to me, it's a rather palpable experience. And the point is not to just have some kind of woo-woo, oh, I was like the king of Egypt or something. It's actually to understand things about your present life. Like, why do I always react like this? Why am I always getting in this kind of relationship? Things in this life will make more sense if you see that there may have been a causative factor before you were born. Just between you and I, Francis, I've had some past lives where I was like a bad person. Like, I was seriously sinister. I think I've realized that there's an account that's kept, and you're held responsible for all of it. And if you want to take advantage of other people and be abusive and you think you're going to get away with it, I'm sorry, it's just not the way it is. And I think that's what really motivates me now, to be kind to people and be meticulous and like caring and responsible all the time. I get it. There's a credit and debit ledger down to the finest increment. I also just feel like being kind to people, but there's also this experience of karma and accountability.
Nobody is perfect. Even healers, we have overcome a lot of difficulties in our lives in order to be able to help other people, to be knowledgeable in our field, to be able to offer comfort with real empathy because of overcoming real life things. And even in past lives, as many spiritual teachers allude to, is that we've evolved over different lifetimes from our more sinister states, less evolved states, to more refined states. The amazing thing about being a healer is being able to help people really be able to evolve on their journey, not my journey, but for themselves, out of situations where they acted out of darkness, or they acted out of hatred, or they were reacting to hatred and difficult situations from other family members. All this work is holistic, and it helps somebody be able to gain more power over their life and to come back to kindness and act from consciousness.
Beautifully put. Francis Chan, any closing words?
It's such a pleasure to be meeting with you today, Mystic Pete, in person, and I'm just so happy and honored to be here in your presence.
Isn't that something, talking about all this stuff on radio, you know, broadcast radio? It's like pretty different, and I hope people have an open mind and can receive some of this stuff. We're talking sincerely. We're not trying to sell anything or convince anybody of a religion. We're just talking about our experiences as emergent healers. We're talking from our hearts. Francis Chan at thequantumcoach.info, thequantumcoach.info. That's where you can find her.
Thank you very much.
Hey, what's up? This is Ensol Luna.
This is Sanity Menon.
And we're bringing y'all the real situation.
For the people, rise up.
And for all those who've been affected by the corruption of their oppressors.
Word up. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Climbing the ladder, skip the chit chatter. These lone thoughts travel on their own, they defy the portions endorsed by corporate paranoia. Couldn't understand the wrath of their own poison. Noise is heard, but quiet to all of the voices. Realness cannot be forced, it's just a part of the soul simulating to reach up to what is infinite. The movement's fluid, incohesive with the elegance. Faced with predators, watching the pendulum. Moving the belly of the beast is adrenaline, but not for the reason of an upliftment. I give but a prayer, hoping that it's being sent. But no, it's not relies on my responsibility of honor that I can't decline. It's all part of my being, the root chakra. Mixing it with loop diggers, it's a different breed. Born of no fallacy, just a path of a speed that collides with the elevation. Innovative celebration, that mean when we work, we earn. I'm busting up the walls until they burn. Dealing with the slimies until they squirm. Got a new plan, but you gotta take a turn. Joining the poise, no toys, but of course, if you pour your inner being to the power of the course. Intelligence prevail all till you're tested again. So what did you learn? Class in session, but can't rabble, rabble, rabble. Use your craft to enact what you after.
for the solitude. Rise up for the youth, check, check, look. Better think fast before you meet your match. Somebody can take you out before you get your act. If you ain't doing nothing, then nobody knows it. Come on, yo, come on, yo. Better think fast before you meet your match. Somebody can take you out before you get your act. See the movement godly. Wake up, smell the roses, but it wasn't honest. Not what it seems, the gold in many dreams are lost in the mirage of another scheme. Right, we were born under, it awoke my slumber. Even walking down the street, there was something itching. What am I supposed to feel when this wasn't what I signed up for? I ponder, waking in the morning and thinking it's this it. This life that we're living in a bubble, pop goes the weasel. Flip the whole script, now it ain't a leisure. But that's the dilemma, people getting lost in cheddar. Mice in the trap, stop the hype. We want the real, been screaming with all my might. Won't lose track, cause the beat keep it right. I'm nice, but don't bite the hand that feeds you. Use knowledge to get out of your routine to not be used. A tool not for destruction, but reconstruction. Break the whole blueprint to change the notion. This motion creates earthquakes consciously. Watch. Better think fast, come on, you meet your match. You better, somebody can take you out, you better ride like that. Come on. If you ain't doing nothing, then nobody knows it. Come on, yo. Nobody come knows on, it. Yo. Better think fast, before you meet your match. Somebody can take you out, before you get your hat. Make it happen, every day is an attraction. Your attitude can subtract or multiply the madness. Dashing through the city before sunset to see the world in all its beauty. Admire pleasures of simplicity. Distantly, seeing the mirage lift out of me. My calling is the answer I've been waiting for. Don't let the chance fly by, we can't afford. Every day they take, rob, steal, lie, cheat, leech, I teach. Take a seat, release the old gratification. This is emancipation, can't disgrace the legends. We got too much to just settle, we want our. No matter if they sell it, why the blaming? Let's stop the patterns. Teach teamwork, not take more. Who cares if they bleed first? Better if they don't see what we corrupt. Better if they stay blind to all of the lust. That's why it's a sick mindset. We wrote our fate without knowing the consequence. And if I die with just this music to guide my brethren, then I believe we will rise for millenniums.
No peace, no racist police. No justice, no peace, no racist police. 1, 2, 3, 4. We don't want your racist war. We don't want your racist war. We don't want your racist war. 5, 6, 7, 8. Stop the killing, stop the hate. Stop the killing, stop the hate.
Don't be fooled with less, say hush. Don't be fooled.
coming to the end of a show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. We started with a story by the extraordinary Mike Bone called Ted Turner's T-Shirt. Then I interviewed Francis Chan. Then we heard a tune by Brianna Kinn, just released Water Me Down. Find her at briannakinn.com. Then I interviewed Francis Chan. And we just wrapped it up with some tunes just released by Real Situation, Finding It, Revolution, and Part of Your Own Good. Thanks so much for listening. Mystic Pete out.